This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. Round eve and game day. Carlton and Sydney at Marvel tonight. Can't wait for that. Two evenly matched sides. Hopefully we'll get a nail biter. I'll be on tonight as well. Boundary. But a huge news day. The grand final time has been decided. Want to discuss some of the background of the women's pay deal. Also want to give you a bit of an insight into what's happening with the Tasmanian discussion at the moment in terms of the discussion between some of the clubs and the AFL. And there's been some big news this morning as well from the Bombers concerning McDonald, Tip and Woody. He's retired. I'll give you an insight into that. I've also got some news on the Giants, who are facing a bit of a flu crisis this week ahead of Mark McVay's debut game as the senior coach. And there's been an interesting concussion development as well, which I'll get to at the end of today's podcast. But the big news off the top is this year's grand final will be at the traditional MCG slot, 2:30 in the afternoon. The AFL announcing that this morning. It's in keeping with the traditions of the game. I've interviewed Gil McLachlan on this. Door stopped him this morning. I'll have that interview on 7 News tonight. But the crux of the decision is that in an era of a lot of change for fans, we've had COVID, all sorts of issues, the AFL wants to, at least this year, stick with one of the great traditions of the game and has opted against the twilight slot, which I've gone into great detail on this podcast about why that would have been perhaps more commercial to go with twilight. But they've opted with the fans in this instance. I think this will be a hugely popular decision with a lot of fans, which is where the AFL's obviously read the room. I think they'll try and incorporate the twilight fixture for the grand final perhaps into the next rights deal. I know previously Gil McLachlan sought some, well, negotiated to try and, I guess, get some extra money for that spot. So perhaps that was a feature of these negotiations this time. Does it cost the broadcasters money at a time when the AFL will ask the broadcasters to pay a record amount of money for the game going forward? Look, I can't comment for 7, but I think this year's ads will sell well either way, whether it's at 2:30 or 4. You do get some incremental audience increase at 4 o'clock, but I think the grand final will sell well either way. And clearly it's the AFL's decision. It's their job to make the game as good as it possibly can be. And in this instance, they've decided to stick with a popular view this year and stick with tradition at 2:30. It was a surprise, but that was the Commission and Gil McLachlan's decision this week.
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
A landmark women's pay deal announced yesterday by the AFL. I flagged that on the podcast, it had been sort of widely reported. The crux of it was that the women have got a 96% on average pay increase. It's a huge investment from the game into the future of AFLW. It's been widely supported by the women as life-changing, according to Paul Marsh when he spoke, the head of the Players Association. Yes, I think Darcy Vesio reflected the same sentiments on social media. It means that the lowest band of players will get almost $40,000 for the season. That aligns roughly per hour for the rookie male. So there's some synergy there in terms of the two deals and fairness in that respect and equity in that respect, which I think is a really positive. Well, the whole story is positive, but that's a positive aspect to the women's pay deal. It's interesting. It's a huge investment by the AFL. Seasons 1 to 6, I'm told, AFLW have cost the AFL, and they've invested about $55 million. This year, for season 7, they'll invest roughly the same amount, $55 million. So the amount this year invested, covering the wages, the 4 new teams, effectively staging the 2 seasons in one, the AFLs will spend about $55 million this year, and they've spent about $55 million on aggregate in seasons 1 to 6. In terms of the source of the money, the AFL told me, yes, I asked Gil McLachlan, he's absolutely adamant that there'll be still money for the men, for the clubs, for the coaches through the soft cap, and also through community umpiring, community initiatives, and Tasmania, if it gets up, there's still enough money in the AFL's kitty to cover all those things. Even in light of the AFLW increase, which is about the total wage bill for AFLW for the coming season will be at $25.6 million, which is up about 150% on the most recent season. So it really is a landmark deal for the AFLW that the AFL and Gil McLachlan in particular insists is all costed. An interesting one, which I did hear yesterday in terms of the source of the money, was remember the men through their deal have earned on the revenue upside 28%. Well, they get 28% of the upside, which was $55 million over the past sort of 3 or 4 years. So the AFL still has a significant portion of that revenue upside themselves. And I think in this instance, they've got a lot of people lining up for the money, but clearly are prepared to invest heavily and back AFLW, which I think is widely seen as fantastic. That was a big announcement yesterday.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Tasmanian decision, which will come up in August to the clubs, is at a critical juncture. In the background, there is some club resistance on financial concerns to issuing a 19th licence. That's an additional licence for the competition. At a time when there's big demands on the AFL, the Gold Coast and GWS are costing a lot of money, a lot of prominent clubs, a number of them, are concerned about the financial viability of a 19th licence. Not anti-Tasmania, but just the financial viability of a 19th licence. And I know at the moment and can report there's a lot of discussions going on between the AFL and those concerned clubs. And I won't single out the clubs. It's a bit unfair at the moment because they're mature commercial discussions happening in the background. I don't want to create some big anti-Tasmania thing. It's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying the concern is over the 19th licence, and the AFL is engaging in a lot of dialogue at the moment with clubs trying to address some of those concerns. My overall impression is the AFL is positive and quite ambitious about a 19th licence and Tasmanian side. Having said that, it needs the support of the clubs. And in the background at the moment, Gil McLaughlin, I know, is working closely with some of those concerned clubs trying to address those issues. So that'll become certainly a huge discussion point in the next 2.5 months. But it's not anti-Tasmania. The issue is club concern, as I see it, over a 19th licence. What does that mean? Well, maybe the discussion at some point might be around whether Tasmania need to partner up with an existing club. It hasn't got to that point yet. The obvious existing club would be North Melbourne. That'll create a whole hoo-ha. It's a discussion that no one wants to have. Certainly Gil McLaughlin doesn't seem to want to have it in his final year as the AFL CEO. No one's suggesting that North should move, but it's just coming to a critical juncture. That's what I'm reporting.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's News.
It's been a big news week for the Bombers. The truck, Ben Rattan spoke yesterday. A lot of focus on their performance tomorrow night. There's been focus on their selection. Now, Ridley has COVID today, which will further impact their selection. But they stuck essentially with the side that got absolutely belted and frankly embarrassed by Sydney last week. Tommy Cutler's been omitted, a bit stiff. Corbell's injured. Smith and Waterman come into the side. Now, Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody, was training when I was out of the hangar. I watched him train yesterday with the main group, I might add. Not suggesting he was close to selection, but he was training in the contest work with the main group. This morning, he's retired from the game. That could best be described as a shock. We know that he'd obviously taken some time out of the game this year. I'm told from some Bombers sources this morning that Tip is telling them that he's the happiest he's ever been. He's happy with his decision. I know in the past he's spoken about, I'm told, starting a business and doing a few other things. But look, Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody, a massive, massive talent. He's, grappled with footy a little bit this year in terms of his fitness and a few factors. But he has retired this morning, which does create a list spot at the Bombers. There'll be a lot of focus on them in Dreamtime tomorrow night against Richmond. The Bombers are the 16th side in the competition for giving up scores. Richmond score heavily, so it's going to be a big challenge for the truck, and in particular his midfield. They've got to get going and put their head over the ball tomorrow night. There's going to be a lot of focus on that. The Giants, they've got a flu running through the club this week. Leon Cameron was particularly sick, I'm told, after his final game. Even Toby Green's been battling the flu this week. I think he'll be right, I'm told by a source. But also, separately of the Giants, Mark McVay has taken over this week. And they, look, they've been struggling. So there's no knock on Leon Cameron's game plan. But I'm told McVay has already introduced some big changes this week. It'll be more positive, a more bold game plan this week. I think the previous sort of Cameron style was seen as a little bit boring. It'll be more attacking, I'm told, against West Coast on Sunday. McVay's already changed some schedules of the players out there and also realigned some team values as well. So he's got in there and had a big crack this week. It's unclear at this stage whether Hurdy will start his assistant coach responsibilities on Sunday. Look, I think he will. I know the Bombers have got a VFL game tomorrow, so he might want to go and watch his son play in that. But it's just timing in terms of when he got back from London. But he will take up that role very soon, possibly as soon as Sunday. And I'll just leave you with one on concussion. I'll give you a bit of insight into what's going on there. Peter Gordon at the moment, the former Bulldogs president, is acting on behalf of the AFL looking at the viability of a concussion fund. That might be designed to, or would be designed to, avoid litigation in the future where players concerned about concussion could access some money and the likes. that's a whole Pandora's box. How big is it? How small is it? How do you admit liability? How do you access that fund? How do you prove it? There's a whole bunch of issues there that he's working through in conjunction with experts. But the AFL is looking at whether Gordon's work could be incorporated into the new men's CBA deal. Perhaps there could be some money allocated specifically for that. The background discussion is that Peter Jess, the concussion advocate, is posing a serious discussion to the AFL and interested parties about having a separate past players, not association, but body, administered separately to look at past players' wellness, which would include concussion. Perhaps you could get, well, he's proposing specific funding for that. So that's what's going on in the background. There's discussion about a separate past players' body, and there's also discussion about Peter Gordon's work, which hasn't been finalised yet. It's got to go to the commission and get costed and all sorts of stuff. But there's discussion in the background about that concussion fund being incorporated as part of the new collective bargaining agreement. An interesting one. It's going to be a massive weekend of football. There's going to be some huge storylines this weekend. Carlton and Sydney tonight, you know, they're talking about two potential top four or top six sides there. Geelong and Port Adelaide, another beauty tomorrow at GMHBA, 1:45 Saturday afternoon. The Bulldogs and Gold Coast will be focused. If the Gold Coast can beat the Bulldogs, that seriously starts to shore up Stuart Dew's coaching plans beyond this year. The Bulldogs need to keep winning, clearly. North Melbourne and Melbourne, I mean, geez, I'm worried about David Noble. I'm worried about North Melbourne, just in terms of like their lack of visibility. They've become almost a little bit irrelevant, quite frankly, recently. I know some of their supporters are worried about as much. You know, they're facing a potential belting from Melbourne. So it'll be interesting to see how they go at Marvel tomorrow afternoon. St Kilda, you know, if they can knock off the Crows and just keep winning, it just shores up Brett Ratten's position at St Kilda. I think everyone wants Brett Ratten to get a contract extension. Having said that, you know, it's hard to believe that Clarko wouldn't be looking at some of these lists that are close to the top. And, you know, I'm not saying Clarko's going to cut someone out of a job, but, you know, St Kilda need to keep winning as far as Ratten's contract is concerned. Massive tomorrow night, Richmond and Essendon at the MCG. Dreamtime. Doesn't get any bigger than that. There's going to be so much focus on the Bombers' performance and how they put their head on the ball. And, look, just obviously just whether they're not soft tomorrow night. It's going to be tough tomorrow night, the Bombers. And it's obviously going to be led by the midfield. It'll be interesting to see how they I was listening to a good discussion this morning, actually, in terms of where they all start in the midfield tomorrow night. Hawthorn and Brisbane, that'll be an interesting game. See how the Lions go there. You'd have to be tipping them. And Fremantle and Collingwood. Collingwood face a tough assignment over in the West against Fremantle. You know, they've been struggling a little bit, Collingwood, particularly without Brodie Grundy. And the Dockers, well, they were in form until they got beaten last week. So it'll be intriguing to see how the Pies perform in a difficult task over in the West. That concludes a big Friday podcast. I'll be on the boundary tonight. Don't miss Triple M footy over the weekend. I think it's going to be an intriguing weekend, particularly the focus on the Bombers. I'm looking forward to all the games. Don't forget to join us again on Monday. Thanks for joining us and listening this week. Triple M rocks football.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.